No, I'm I got you.
Hello, hello.
Is that close enough? Okay, thank you.
Check out the marble.
Well, before I start, I just wanted to make a little announcement, and that's just because maybe not everybody knows what's been going on in Sandy's life and my life and Anna's life for the past 10 days, but Samuel's in rehab. He's in Lake Arrowhead, and he's been there since a week ago Thursday.
Wednesday night.
What's that? Thursday night, yeah, Thursday night. And I have not spoken to him. Anna has spoken to him. Sandy got a phone call. He's detoxed and he's clearer headed. And he's going to be there for 30 days at least. And it's a step in the right direction. It's a very hard time for us, and it's a good thing that he's there. And we're praying for him daily and nightly and all daily. And anyway, just thank you for standing with us. And we appreciate your prayers. Today, we're going to read the Christmas story. And I'm going to read it from Matthew. And I'm going to read it from Luke. There's four Gospels. And they're written by four different characters. And they're written from four different perspectives. And we only get the story of Jesus' birth in two of them, two of the Gospels. Matthew was a Jew, but he wrote his Gospel from the perspective of the mumser. And if you haven't heard that word before, the mumser is an outcast. And Matthew was an outcast. The Jews were not fond of him. He was a tax collector. The Jews hated tax collectors. Tax collectors were part of the Roman government and were abusing the Jews. They were very dishonest people. And when Jesus called Matthew as a disciple, he may not have been readily accepted by the other disciples, who were all Jews. And he probably had a little tough time. And so he understood a little bit about being a mumser. And if you think of it, he was humble. He came at this with humility. And maybe you don't feel it right now, and maybe you do, maybe you haven't felt it before, but we're all mumsers. We're all lost sheep. And Jesus has come for all of us. You know? So, Luke wasn't born a Jew. You guys know Luke was a physician, and he wrote his gospel from a little different perspective, kind of a clinical perspective, right? Like he said, I want to set things right. It seems like it'd be right for me to do this too because I have a different perspective. And so Luke writes his gospel probably a little more like I would. You know, we need some details in here. We need some specific details. And so we're going to read the two. And what I want you to do as we read them is I want you to pay attention to who God is speaking to and how he's speaking. And then also pay attention to the response to God speaking. So we're going to go all the way back to Matthew. We're not going to read the genealogy. I know you're thankful. And we're going to start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, in the Jewish faith, once you were engaged in that cult, you were married. You were making a place for your wife, and as soon as you had that place made and your dad said it was okay, you went and got your wife and brought her home, but you were married. If she became pregnant while you were making that place, you had two choices by the law, by the Jewish law. You could stone her to death, or you could quietly divorce her. So Joseph already is very loving. He's a good man. He doesn't want her to be stoned to death. So he decides, I'll put her away quietly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. There's our Holy Spirit again. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I just wanted to spend 1 minute talking about that name, Jesus, the name which is above every name. So the name Jesus that we say is from the Koine Greek, by the way, but it's derived from the Hebrew name Yeshua, and it means to deliver or to rescue. It's a combination of the word Yah and the verb Yasha. So Yah is the name of God, and Yasha is a Hebrew verb that means to rescue or to deliver or to save. So the name means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. And the reason we say Jesus instead of Yeshua or Joshua is because in Koine Greek, it's Jesus. So we take the Jesus from the Koine Greek and call him Jesus. Anyway, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Now I always wondered, why was Herod troubled? And I figured, well, he was threatened, right? But look what it says next. And all Jerusalem with him. So why was all Jerusalem troubled? I mean, I get why Herod was troubled, but why was Jerusalem troubled? Weren't they looking for the Messiah? And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that what time the star had appeared, sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I call my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and young and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a land, in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay, now we're going to go over to Luke the physician. And we're going to go to chapter 1. And we're just going to start with verse 5 of chapter 1. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. I'll just point out that we know that Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. So if Elizabeth is a daughter of Aaron, then Mary is a daughter of Aaron, right? And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be filled in their own time. I'm just going to skip to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And again, I'll just pause for a sec. And we read that, and we've read it, we've heard it. How is God appearing and talking to Mary? He sent an angel. But is this angel visible? Yeah. He actually walked into the house. Is he speaking audible words? Yes, she hears him. I don't know that Mary knows he's an angel. Maybe she does. The Bible tells us that sometimes we can entertain strangers that are angels and not know it, right? So maybe Mary didn't know who this was. We know that Zacharias knew that he was an angel, but we don't know that Mary knows that this is an angel. So he walks into the house and he says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." And we read that and we say, well, yeah, I mean, she's going to be the mother of Jesus. Of course, that's cool. But she doesn't know that at this point. She's just, there's a man talking to her and saying, "Blessed are you among women." And as far as we know, she's young. She's a teenager. And she's like, okay. And we know that Mary's a thoughtful gal, because we're told that, right? She's always pondering things in her heart and thinking about things. So she's just kind of looking at the angel saying, huh, okay, all right. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Angels always, don't be afraid, right? Which is good, because I think they're big. "For you have found favor with God." So that's cool. I mean, you have found favor with God, just right there. That's fantastic. Okay, but we go on. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Okay, so now she's a good little Jewish girl. She knows that the angel's telling her she's going to have the Messiah. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." So he's going to be a king. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." So you and I read, "of his kingdom there will be no end." And what do we think of immediately? We think of Isaiah, because we know that Isaiah 9 says there will be no end to the kingdom. So she knew that too. This has been ingrained in her. She's gone to Jewish school, to Hebrew school, and she knows that when somebody says it's his kingdom, there will be no end. She's talking about the Messiah. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can you, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.'" If you want to memorize one verse, just go ahead and give me that one. Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." It's a good one to remember. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord.'" There's an exclamation point there, by the way. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then Mary said, we sang this, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty ones from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has made empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. I'm just going to stop and go over a couple of things with you here. So Jesus hasn't even been born in Luke yet, but that's okay. So I just want to kind of go through God speaking and who hears. And I don't know if you picked up on all the occurrences of who's God speaking to. Some of them are obvious and some of them are a little less obvious. And then how does God speak? And then also, what is the response when God speaks? So we see that God speaks to Joseph, and he speaks to Joseph through an angel of the Lord, but in a dream, right? So Joseph's a dreamer. Joseph keeps getting spoken to in a dream. He says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And what does Joseph do? What's his response? His response is obedience, and it's immediate obedience. The next verse, he takes her for his wife. He doesn't hesitate. Now, we also know that God spoke to Isaiah, the prophet, because we read in Matthew, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So God spoke to Isaiah all the time. If you read the 66 chapters, there's probably 4 different books of Isaiah. But God speaks to Isaiah all the time. So what did Isaiah have to do to hear God's voice? He had to listen. In verse 12, we see God spoke to wise men from the east. Where did the wise men come from in the east? Well, they probably came from Babylon. Remember the Jews went over to Babylon for a while? And then they came back and they rebuilt Jerusalem. Well, there were probably still Jews there. And so Daniel was over there, remember? And these guys came back. But what happened to them? They were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And they departed for their own country. So what did they do when they heard the dream? They were obedient. Why? Because they were wise men. And then in verse 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What is Joseph's response? It's complete, it's immediate obedience. He does it in the night. He doesn't even wait till the morning. He gets up and he leaves. He takes him. He believes the dream. He believes the angel. He believes what God says and acts on it immediately. He left that night. And then we know that God spoke to Jeremiah the prophet in 31:15, Jeremiah 31:15, which we read in Matthew, predicting that Herod would kill the babies. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And I'll just point out, the wise men came probably when Jesus was 2, Notice they talk about the young child, they don't talk about the babe. And notice Herod killing all the kids that are two and under. And they also say they came into the home. They didn't say they came into the, you know, the manger. So Matthew 2:19, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." And then being warned in a dream by God, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. So Joseph, again, he's a dreamer. God speaks to him in a dream over and over and over. And then in Zechariah hears from God by an angel in the temple. It's pretty scary for the priests to go into the temple. They only go once a year. And remember what they did to the priests when they went into the Most Holy of Holies? Yeah, they tied a rope to their ankle, because if they touched the ark or if they did something wrong, they might be dead. So when he didn't come out for a while, probably wondering what was going on with Zacharias. They didn't know he's in there talking to an angel. They were kind of concerned about him. And then he came out and he couldn't speak. Now, the angel of the Lord says to Zacharias, "Don't be afraid." Zacharias was obedient, but Zacharias questioned if God was able to do what he said he would do. And I don't know about you, but I look at that and go, wow, if I was in the temple and an angel spoke to me, and I was 80 years old, and he told me my wife was going to get pregnant, I'd believe him. But think about it. Do we question that what God tells us is true? God says, trust me. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. Well, we have to learn how to trust him. We have to learn how to trust him with everything and not lean on our own understanding. How does God speak to Mary? He speaks through the angel Gabriel. And what is Mary's response? Well, she doesn't answer in disbelief. She's just going, how's this going to work? Right? Like, I'm going to be pregnant? I don't get it. My mom just told me the birds and the bees, and now I know how people get pregnant, and I haven't been with a man. So her question is one of curiosity, not of mistrust. And then we know that because in verse 38, after she's done and the angel spoken to her, what does she say? "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me done to me according to your word." She just says, "I'm yours. Go ahead. Whatever you say goes." In Luke 1:41, we see that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So God spoke to her, and she immediately knows that Mary is with child. So Mary just walks in. Mary doesn't come in yelling, "Hey, Elizabeth, I'm pregnant." She just comes in and says, "Hello." And Elizabeth immediately knows Mary's pregnant, and she's pregnant with the Messiah. So that's revealed to her by God. God spoke to the shepherds, right? How did he do that? "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" So, what was the response of the shepherds? Well, the first thing they did is they talked about what happened. They're like, "Huh, what's going on here?" But then they went to Bethlehem. And it says they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then they reported what they had seen and heard. It's interesting that they pick out the shepherds. These are the lowest form of life. They have a job. They're employed. They're not unemployed. But these guys are not well respected, the shepherds. But they go. And they report this, that God appeared to them, and they reported it to everybody that would listen. We know Simeon heard the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. So this Christmas season, this next week or two, prepare yourself to hear his voice. He's still speaking. Angels are all around us. If you ever wonder if there's angels, just go to a park and watch the kids playing on the monkey bars. There is no reason they don't all fall and break their necks. It's because there's angels all around each one of them. The Holy Spirit speaks. And the question is, are we prepared to hear? And are we prepared to respond? And the question I have for you is, will you listen and will you respond? That's all.
Thank you.